Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IDFC First Bank Q1 FY23 conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kunal Shah. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mike, and good evening, everyone present on the call. Today we have with us Mr. V. Vaidyanathan, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Sudhanshu Jain, CFO and Head Corporate Center, and Mr. Saptarshi Bapari, Head Investor Relations from IDFC First Bank to discuss their Q1 FY23 earnings. Over to you, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Kunal. Hi. First of all, thank you very much, Kunal, for organizing this for us and for all of you investors who have joined us this evening. Thank you. I think, in a way, you've been very patient investors with us. In a way, we've tested your patience, I think, over the last 3 years with one issue or the other. But I think, but in a way, I must say you passed the test and we tested you hard. I think that we've come a long way, and now we can quite confidently say that the foundation is well built for the bank. We have a really strong deposit base, 50% CASA. We're able to raise deposits quite comfortably now. Of course, we even raised it during the period of COVID, over 25,000 crores, so that should give us some confidence. But the fact that we're continuing to raise strong deposits even after dropping interest rates is really heartening for all of us at the bank. Now, with the deposits, let me say that's one of the foundational items for a bank to be able to raise deposits, which we have now able to raise. Now, on the lending side, frankly, we always felt that we already had a tried and tested model that has been running in the combined history of both banks put together, so to say, for close to 10 years now. You know, our loan book has been compounding by about 30% for quite a long while. And that machine is holding up very well, both the ability to disperse and, more importantly, the quality of that lending continues to be strong. Later in the conversation, depending on where the conversation goes, we'll share with you specific indicators about how each of the items about the so-called through-the-door population, i.e. the quality of origination, quality of customers coming into the bank, we'll share that with you. We will share with you how the check bounce of how these customers are bouncing their checks, or what the trend is on presentation. Number three, on presentation, if they return, we go and collect. So what are those percentages? Number four, how are the vintage cohorts looking like? We'll share all this data with you as the conversation goes, depending on your level of interest. But let me just say that all those numbers are looking very good, and that gives us a picture about that is directly translating into what the SMA numbers for the bank are. Again, the SMA numbers of what the numbers were, let me say, even pre-COVID, you know, people thought that, oh, have you caught up with COVID, you know, pre-COVID. We're not caught up. It's like better. So SMA 0, SMA 1, SMA 2, literally product after product, segment after segment, and at the overall bank level, they're all lesser. Now, naturally, if SMA is low, then, you know, flow into NPA will be lesser. So we are quite confident then when we give guidance that our credit loss for this year will be less than 1.5%, or when we guide for the retail NPA to become less than 2%, all of them have a basis. We've just not been saying it, without basis. So the short point is, therefore, that the asset quality numbers are looking quite good. The third item, if we move on from deposits, assets, and asset quality, I'll be the fourth item, that comes to profitability. Now, as far as profitability is concerned, again, I think something is very significant about our bank. I'm not sure how many of you have spotted it, but if you notice, for the last 3 years, our loan book has not grown very much. It has grown by 6%, compounded, 3 year CAGR. But I don't think people have really spotted that the operating profit of the bank, the core operating profit, that is ex-treasury, That number, especially me, because we all know trading income is trading income, you know, it, you can't count on it. But the, if the Q, if you notice FY 2019, let me say, the annualized of the second half was pre-operating profit, both Capital First and IDFC Bank put together, post-merger annualized, was 1,105 crores. Now, 3 years have gone by. We've spent a lot of money building various capabilities and all that. But despite all that, our operating profit has risen to 2,753 crores. And that's grown at a CAGR of 36%. So core operating profit growing at a CAGR of 36% year on year, you know, feels good for us and gives us confidence in the business model we're building. And the second thing is that last year in FY22 or FY21, our core operating profit, that is basically NII plus fees minus OPEX, that has risen by 44%. Now, we are feeling within us that this number into FY23 should rise by another 45-odd%, and our own internal modeling says that into FY24, this could rise by another 45%. So if the core operating profit starts compounding like this, I think it really augurs well for the bank. Now, after core operating profit comes the provisioning line, and then rest is straight P&L. So I just take it in that way. Now, when we come to the provision line, you know, we had pointed out to you that despite the second wave, when there was no moratorium and our provisioning norms required us to take the provisions, despite such a serious first quarter of last year, our overall credit loss for the last year was only 2.5%. Now, this year we're guiding for 1.5%, and frankly, we feel we'll meet that very comfortably. And therefore, you know, with this sort of a strong operating profit opening up for the bank, if our credit loss is 1.5%, rest of the math you can do about what it will do to the ROA and ROE. Now, I want to just, therefore, when we look at the ROA, I think one of the very significant events that has happened in our life right now is that the core, let me say, the pre-provisioning operating profit last quarter, Sudhanshu, was what, how much? Was nudging 1,000 crores. I think 980 crores. Sudhanshu will take you through when he sees the numbers. So 986 crores, let me round it off to 1,000 crores, you know, with your permission for two minutes. So 1,000 crores of pre-provisioning operating profit for the bank is a really fantastic, you know, gives us a lot of confidence. And therefore, even if we take a normalized provisions credit cost of 1.5%, it gives us a lot of space for profitability. And I want to take you back in time for two quarters to just tell you how much progress the bank has made. That in the first four or five quarters of the merger of the bank, the issue was not provisions. The issue was bank never had profits, never had pre-provisioning operating profits. So provision normally for every bank is like in the for any reasonable good bank is same 1.5% of average book. But our problem was that we never had the operating profit. So therefore, for example, last Q1 or FY22, when the COVID second wave happened, at that point of time, we had provisions, but we didn't have operating profit. Now, for the bank to have an operating profit of 1,000 crores is a very big thing, because now we have the space to be able to take normalized provisions and be profitable. It is frankly our read that our bank will never post a loss again in its life. You know, I use the word, I'm carefully caveating by saying our feel, the reason just because to be, you know, technically and legally right. But otherwise, generally, we don't think it will happen again, because now we have very, very strong operating profits, which means that our bank will continue to now compound equity, which we can very confidently and safely say now. Now that translates to return on assets. Now, return on assets front, but just before I go to return on assets, let me just read out four numbers to you, if that will help you understand this. The Q2 of FY22, our profits was, PAT was 152 crores. Q3, it jumped by 85% to touch 281 crores. Q4 FY22, our PAT increased to 343 crores. Now, Q4 FY23, our PAT has gone up to 474 crores. And by the way, let me share with you, there is nothing in this income that you should worry about, is it one time and all that, nothing material. So that gives you a sign, that gives you a color about where this story is headed. Now, that translates to return on assets. When you translate that, our ROA in Q2 FY22 was 0.37%. Q3 was 0.64%. Q4 was 0.77%. And Q1 FY23 0.97%. Let me round it off to 1% for convenience. So just think, see where the ROA has, moving so fast upwards. So it gives us confidence that this is no one-timer sitting in this. It gives us confidence that this story can progress up for a while. So many of you who've been disappointed with us saying that, oh, you guys are never making profit. And, for those of you who feel like that, I must say the, by that way, if you look at it, it's not that 1% is greatly impressive. A good number should probably be 2%. But then but what you should watch is not that 1%. It's a good landmark. But what is more important is the direction. The speed at which it is getting fixed and it is getting addressed is something you should take note of. And therefore, for all of you who feel, in fact, there's, a couple of global research reports who always look at us and say, guys are making no ROE, why should we evaluate a 1.2 time book? I think they're fundamentally making a mistake because they're looking at today. If you have to look 2 years forward, and let me tell you, you'll probably surprise yourself. Now, the other thing is return on equity. On return on equity, it is basically that our ROE in Q2 FY22 is 2.97%. Q3 22, by the way, I'm talking sequentially quarter, not like year on year and all that, just sequential quarter. 2.97 moved to 5.44. Then Q4 FY22 is moved to 6.67. Q1 FY23 moved to, 9% touch and go. So I hope it should not be a surprise for you, when we say we'll guide that the Q4 of this year, one of you asked us this question, what the ROE will be, and I told you double digit. Our own sense is that we'll get there even before Q4. We like to probably advance the guidance if something like that. So the short point is that, some of you have been disappointed with us with our profit number. But I must say that not that we had a choice because, there were just so many lumpy assets to deal with. We couldn't push them under the carpet. We had to deal with them, whether it's Divan, Reliance Capital, some infrastructure loans, some, South India-based company, the unfortunate case of suicide. All of these are legacy accounts. We had one retail, large retail chain on which we had an exposure, that's been in the news for the last few months in the large legal fight. We had exposure there. That's also a legacy account. So one after the other, we have dealt with every one of them. I can tell you confidently there's nothing left here. Now, for those of you who don't feel confident about it, you can watch the results for a quarter or two. You'll get the confidence. So with that, with legacy issues out of the way and the core operating profit, opening up the way I described to you in terms of ROA, ROE, it shouldn't be surprising for you that our profitability is increasing. So I can therefore say that we are looking forward to a very, very good FY23. We don't expect to give you any surprises. And if you were within the walls of this office, you'll probably get a feeling that we are internally feeling very, very confident. So I'm feeling good about the upcoming year and maybe 24, 25 and so on, because I don't think there's any surprise left here. So that's about it. Thank you very much for taking the call today, and I request Sudhanshu to maybe throw some more color into the discussion.
Thanks, Vaidya. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the con call. I'm happy to share the financial results of Q1 FY23 with all of you. The overall balance sheet size has crossed 2 lakh crores in this quarter and grew by 19% on a YOY basis to reach rupees 2,565 crores. The overall funded assets, which includes loans and advances and credit investments, grew by 21% YOY and 6.7% sequentially to rupees 1,37,663 crores. Within that, the retail and the commercial book together grew by 36.8% YOY and 9.5% sequentially to reach rupees 1,01,309 crores. Home loans registered the high growth at 61% on a YOY basis. Mortgage book, which includes home loans and loan against property, now constitutes 33.5% of the overall retail and commercial book. The rural book, which includes funding to self-help groups, Kisan credit card and small enterprise loans, also grew strongly by 29% on a YOY basis. This segment is bouncing back strongly post the impact felt in wave 2. Speaking of our credit card business, the bank has issued more than 1 million cards since we started this business in January 21. The credit card book was ₹2,315 crores on June 30th, up by 183% on a YOY basis. Even the credit card spends have increased by 20% on a sequential basis. We are clearly increasing market share here. With respect to wholesale assets, the non-infra corporate loans grew by 12% on a YOY basis and by 1% on a QOQ to ₹23,970 crores. We'll continue to grow this book in a risk-adjusted manner. The infrastructure book degrew further and reduced by about 35% YOY and by 2% QOQ to ₹6,739 crores. And now forms merely 4.9% of the total funded assets as compared to 22% at the time of merger. From a risk standpoint, borrower concentration has also improved significantly. The exposure to top 20 single borrowers reduced from 16% in March 19 to 9% in June 22. Moving on to the liability front, the CASA deposits of the bank has increased by 22% YOY to ₹56,720 crores. The CASA ratio is stable at 50.04% as on June 30, 2022. Average CASA deposits also grew by 10% on a Q-on-Q basis. Outstanding term deposits grew by 20% on a YOY basis. With that, the overall customer deposits grew by 21% to reach ₹1,208.68 crores. The bank had excess liquidity and maintained an average LCR of 128% during Q1 as compared to 136% in the previous quarter. This is still well above the regulatory requirement. The branch count now stands at 651 branches along with 807 ATMs. The bank opened 10 branches in the current quarter and has opened 50 branches in the last 1 year. The bank has substantially granularized the liability base since merger, as CASA and TD less than 5 crores stands at 83% as on June 2022. The bank has also successfully repaid high-cost legacy borrowings of ₹5,530 crores in last 1 year, including ₹2,775 crores in the current quarter. The total outstanding of such high-cost legacy borrowings stands at ₹22,406 crores at June 30, 2022. Moving on to asset quality, the gross and net NPA of the bank improved to 3.36% and 1.30% as on June 30, 2022, as compared to 3.7% and 1.53% as on March 31, 2022, reflecting an improvement of 33 basis and 21 basis respectively. The decline in GNPA and NNPA on a yearly basis was much sharper by 125 bps and 102 bps respectively. The provision coverage ratio, including technical write-offs, also improved to 73.13% at June 30th as compared to 70.29% at March 22 and 61.06% at June 30 last year. The gross slippages for the quarter were lower by 20% on a sequential basis. And in fact, slippages net of recovery slash upgrade were lower by 25% sequentially. In the retail and the commercial segment, the GNPA and the NNPA came down significantly by 51 bps and 22 bps sequentially to reach 2.12% and 0.96%. We are happy to share that we are already trending around the long-term sustainable target in the segment of GNPA, as Vaidya mentioned. In the corporate book, ex-infra, the GNPA at 3.67% and NNPA was only at 0.2% as compared to 2.75% and 0.31% as on March 22. This book also had a high provision cover of 97% as on June. The increase in corporate NPA by 92 bps during the current quarter is primarily because of loans to one large legacy retail chain group, which slipped into NPA out of the existing restructuring pool. It may be noted that bank has made 100% provision against this retail chain group on a prudent basis. Again, happy to report the overall restructured book as a percentage of total funded assets has reduced to 1.3% now as compared to 1.8% last quarter. The SMA on the wholesale book is less than 0.5% of the book at June 30th. Even on the retail and the small business loans, as Vaidya mentioned, the SMA position has further improved as compared to the previous quarter. Coming to the profitability, we are happy to share profit after tax grew to rupees 474 crores from a net loss of rupees 630 crores reported in Q1 last year. Sequentially also, the increase was from 343 crores to rupees 475 crores, which is a growth of 38%. This was largely driven by strong growth in operating income and lower credit cost. Within that, the NII grew by 26% YOY to rupees 2751 crore. The net interest margin was 5.89% for Q1 23 as compared to 5.50% in Q1 last year. Fee and other income witnessed a strong increase by 100% YOY to rupees 899 crores. Of course, Q1 22 was a COVID impacted quarter and hence this increase looks a bit higher. However, even on a sequential basis, fee income has increased by 7%. The retail fees contributed 92% to the overall fee and other income, and it is quite granular. Fee income from toll and credit card was at 16% in Q1 FY23 of the total fees within the overall fees. We have given more details around the fee breakup in the investor presentation. The bank had a trading loss of rupees 44 crores in Q1 FY23 on account of sharp increase in market yields as compared to a trading gain of rupees 393 crores in Q1 FY22 and a trading loss of 9 crores in Q4 FY22. Recognizing the heightened market volatility, the bank proactively tightened limits and reduced the treasury book. The modified duration of the AFS and HFT book was lower at 0.84 years on June 30, 22. Moving on to the core operating income, excluding trading loss, increased by 39% YOY to rupees 3650 crores, aided by strong NII and fee income growth mentioned below. Operating expense grew by 31% YOY to rupees 2663 crores in Q1 FY23 from rupees 2032 crores in Q1 FY22 and was marginally lower from rupees 2674 crores in Q4 FY22. The increase in OPEX on YOY basis was relatively higher on account of low base effect in Q1 FY22 due to the pandemic. The cost to income ratio excluding trading gain improved to 72.95% in Q1 FY23 from 77.16% in Q1 FY22 last year and by 323 bps as compared to Q4 FY22. As a result of the above, the core operating profit excluding trading gains grew by 64% YOY and 18% Q-on-Q basis to reach rupees 987 crores from rupees 601 crores in Q1 FY22 last year. Provisions were also lowered by 84% and 17% on a YOY and Q-on-Q basis, respectively, and stood at rupees 308 crores in Q1 FY23. The credit cost on a quarterly annualized basis as a percentage of average funded assets for Q1 FY23 was 0.9%, which is well within our guidance which is given for FY23. On a quarterly annualized basis, the ROA for Q1 has touched nearly 1% and ROE has reached 9%. ROE improved by 20 bps and ROE increased by 228 bps from the previous quarter. On the last segment, with respect to capital adequacy, the bank has maintained strong capital adequacy and its capital adequacy, including profits for Q1 FY23, was at 15.77% as on June 30th, 2022. With a CET ratio at 14.01%. The current quarter capital adequacy had an impact of 58 bps on account of recomputation of ops risk RWA, which is taken in the first quarter every year and then is static for the rest of the year. Even at 15.77%, the bank is well above their regulatory threshold and looks forward to grow the book in a profitable manner. Yeah, with that, we can move to the Q&A section.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to wear handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Ishan Agarwal from Ravina Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. First of all, congratulations to the management for once again delivering a performance surpassing expectations on most fronts. My first question relates to the NII growth quarter on quarter. So the NII growth quarter on quarter stands at around 3%. I think since the time of the merger, this is the lowest QOQ growth in NII and maybe the first time decline in NIMs quarter on quarter. Is it because of lag in passing on the increase in cost of funds on the lending side during the quarter, or is it structural in nature?
No, we have a lag in passing on, so this quarter will be passing it on, so this will get fixed.
Okay, so again, we should be on an upward trajectory from Q2.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And going to the next question, provisions at 388 crores in the quarter look extremely low. That's around at 1% of the average book. 0.9% of the average book. Are there any write-backs or one-offs in the provisions for this quarter?
No.
Okay. So, again, from this question, your press release mentions that the bank is well on track on its guidance of 1.5%. So should we assume that the provisions for Q2, Q3 and Q4 would be higher than 1.5% for the annualized credit cost to be at 1.5%?
No, that's a good question. But, you know, we don't change guidance just because we had a great quarter this time. So let's watch the rest quarters. But we don't see any reason why credit loss in the subsequent quarters should go up any materially. So probability will, our own internal sense is that we'll do better than 1.5.
So, could it be 1 to 1.1% for the rest of the year?
Could be. That would be a fair guess, but we don't want to put it out because we don't want to lead up everybody down that road and just in case there is an odd blip on this side. But, right now it's 91 basis points for the quarter, which I hope you'll agree is probably very good for the...
Very, very good, yeah.
For the kind of yield we get on a book. So... Yes, we don't expect it to materially go up, but then we don't want to change guidance based on one quarter.
So, barring any unforeseen circumstances, we could expect it to be 1 to 1.1%.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. That would be our internal guess.
Okay. So, again, on the next question is actually on the OPEX front. So, OPEX has seen a QOQ decline in absolute terms. How do you see the trajectory on OPEX for the next three quarters?
Every quarter will go up a little bit. This quarter it didn't materially go up, but you should expect that normal quarter-on-quarter growth should happen.
Okay. And in this quarter,
based on disbursals and you know.
Okay, so it could go up marginally every quarter from here on sequentially. Hello. Hello.
This is the operator here. Can you hear us at the management?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Just give me one. We'll check with the management connection. 1 minute.
Yeah.
to you, sir.
Hi, hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you answered my question on the operating expense front.
Sorry, we cut out. So I don't know what stage we cut out. But we want to say that normal quarter-on-quarter increase, because, you know, there will be more disbursals in the subsequent quarters and then naturally more upfront payouts and normal collection expenses, that kind of stuff. But nothing material, materially that should shake you or surprise you.
Okay, okay. And on the savings account rate front, so we are offering 6% on savings account balances above 10 lakhs. How much has that impacted our blended cost of funds on savings accounts? So what would be the blended cost of funds right now on the savings account?
Yeah, blended cost of funds on savings account would be about 5%.
5%. Okay, okay. And thank you. That's it from my side. Just a suggestion. Once you've shared the investor presentation, you do not need to read out the data points in the PPT during the call. That will maybe give us some more time for Q&A.
Thank you, thank you. So we'll be careful. We'll be careful next time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ashant, for your comments and questions. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Tushar Sarja from Athena Investment. Please go ahead. Can you hear us, Tushar?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. And congratulations for a great performance over the past 2-3 years. There's just one parameter of the bank which I can't get my head around to, is the total expense to assets ratio, which is almost at 5-6%. And I think in terms of comparison, only Equitas Small Finance is higher than that. Even AU Small Finance is at 3.5%, and the larger private sector banks are below 2%. So can you just help me understand this?
Okay. If you don't mind, you have to answer one question of mine, then I'll answer your question.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the vintage of most of the banks you compare it with?
No, vintage is there, obviously. So is it because of the vintage, or is it, that's what I want to understand. No, as I said, this one factor I don't understand.
No, no, you answer the question. So you say you take all the big four banks. How long have they been operating? At least 25 years, 30 years?
Yeah, yeah.
So when you put up a branch or an ATM, they take time to leverage. So we are, for all practical purposes, you know, our 640 branches, you can call it, had an average life of maybe 1.5, 2 or 3. They're not 20 years. So the same branches, you can imagine when you know, the one thing I think many people are not able to get their head around is to, or not get the perspective, is that this is a new bank. So we put up infrastructure as if we are an established bank, because we are already at merger we had a large loan book of 1 lakh crores with no deposit, retail deposits. So we went and put up the branches, but they've had a very short life yet. So when these branches really scale up from here over the next 10-15 years, you will find that naturally all the cost measures will measure up with every other bank. It has to. That's on the liability side. On the asset side, again, I have to ask you, I won't trouble you by asking, but I'll express to you that if you think of any of the large banks who've been around for 15, 20, 30 years, they probably have a very large mortgage book. And the cost to assets on a mortgage book would be pretty low. So we have just started. So, and most of our products are not exactly those low rate, long duration mortgages. So, you know, think of our products, for example, which are giving us, of course, better yield, which you can see in the NIMS, but they also have relatively high OPEX business on the asset side. Think of any product we have, let me say, durable financing or two-wheelers or used car or new car or loan against property, of course, is low or a stuff. You get the drift. So, therefore, the products would have a little higher OPEX on the asset side. Our branches on the liability side are definitely new, and they have not lived the life of 20, 30 years of like other banks. So as the vintage of this bank plays out, they'll all normalize.
No, so I'll have a follow-up on this. So that's why, compared to AU Small Finance also, which is, you know, similar kind of businesses, which is 3.5%, and Capital First has a history. IDFC may not have, but you obviously had the infrastructure and the history, right? And your size is also big. It's not that your size is 20,000 crores and therefore the expenses will be high. You are at 2 lakh crores. You're one of the larger banks in that sense. So that's why I wanted to understand, because all other parameters, it ticks the box fantastically. It's just this one parameter which, you know.
So let me slow down.
If you can explain a little more, you know, very helpful.
No, no, no. It's my job and I'll explain properly. I didn't mean to throw you off balance. So let me answer this question. So on the assets, on the liability side, my answer is pretty much what I told you, that branches have not yet scaled up. So if you think of a branch, for example, you know, per branch, let me say if you give us a longer vintage, see, end of the day, let's not forget, we are living, operating the same country. We are hiring people of similar talent, similar cost structures. Our branches, what we pay for premises is similar. So there's no reason our bank cost structure should be different than any other bank. They're all the same. At least all the leading private sector banks, all give or take in the same ballpark. So it only and only on the liability side is only about scaling up, which will happen. So I'm not troubled at all on that front. I hope you'll agree with me. Now let's talk.
So just one clarification there. I'm assuming 3 crore cost per branch to operate. Is that fair or is it more?
Lesser. Let's call it to be 2.5 somewhere there. Depending
on. So 650 branch means around 2,000 crore you spend on branches, right? Out of 10,500 crore, that's the annual run rate.
So we can do the math there. But I'm just saying that you get the drift. Let's talk, just get the concepts out of the way. So on the liability side, they will scale up like any other good bank. And because we offer slightly better rates, probably they'll scale a little better than any other good bank. Okay, and like any other bank. So let me just say that asset side, liability side is easy to understand because same market, same cost structure similar.
Yeah.
Now on the asset side, the cost structures are definitely, the product suites we have are definitely, have a higher cost structures than, let me take one of the large banks in the country. They probably have a 5 lakh crore home loan book.
Okay.
Which some of us, myself, maybe my colleagues, must have started like 20, 25 years ago, maybe 20 years ago.
Hmm.
So by now, it must have really scaled up to a really big piece.
Hmm.
So obviously, if you took at our home loan book today, our our cost to income ratio on home loan book is probably like 90% or something. So that's it. So basically, because it's, particularly the prime home loan that we started maybe about a year ago.
Hmm.
So because, yields are just about 7.5 or something, and then the NIMs are pretty low there, and then but OPEX is today's OPEX. Of course, if we leverage it over the next 8, 10, 15 years, obviously next generation who will run the bank will get to see very low cost income ratio on that front. But today people who are building it will incur the expense and will have to live with the higher cost structures on that product, say in home loan, for example.
Okay.
So, to start with, today. I mean, as year goes by, it will all even out. Now, let's talk about other products. So, because we started. So, as far as other businesses are concerned, let me say a JLG business. We have about 8,000 crore business there. It's fundamentally a higher cost structure. So, if you take a car financing business, it's at least a used car one, a relatively higher cost structure. So, it is true that our asset structures have a relatively higher cost. And a liability, of course, I described to you, we just started. Then the third business we started is the credit card business. Now, as we speak, credit cards is loss-making. So we incur, in other words, our cost-to-income ratio on credit cards is in excess of maybe 130-150%. So therefore, all of these things tend to put a load on the cost-to-income ratios. But honestly, I am personally not troubled about this because that's how businesses are built. If I run away from doing these things under investor pressure, then the bank will never get built. Then you'll have
That's not my idea. My idea is to understand. I mean, this is an opportunity for us to understand from management what is their take.
I know. That's not your idea. But I'm trying to explain to you that it's so coming back to the point. Therefore, some of the businesses we built are built for the future. So our job as leaders of the organization is to get the payback. So on the liability side, I have no confusion in my mind. Payback will happen and scale happens. And as we start doing cross-sell. So, and we are, as a bank, we just started this process of cross-sell. We were just a liability gathering machine until maybe a year ago. So we've just now put up the structures. We've enabled the people to cross-sell other products and services. We have tiered the customers. We are, into tier 1, 2, 3, 4. We've done some, we are throwing up the necessary customer offers on the RM screen so that they can, discuss the next suitable product for the customer, etc. So our processes have just begun to gather steam. We are probably underperforming, we're certainly underperforming on the extent of cross-sell we are doing to our customers on the liability side, that machinery is just gathering up. So that will solve some of the issue. Credit card will solve the issue. And solve the issue meaning as it turns into profit, it will happen. So as part of management, our job is to turn these, once we set up the businesses and incur the expenses, our job is to now bring them to profitability. It's a phase. Well, it will happen. And you see it quarter on quarter, we'll share numbers with you.
So over 3 to 5 years, what one should expect in terms of, cost to assets, not cost to income, but cost to total balance sheet size?
No, you should come back to cost to income, because it's cost to assets in the seeding depends on the line of business you do. I mean, I could do a lot of home loans and
cost to income. What do you think? You are at 75% today, right? So
yeah, somewhere there. So you can see every quarter now, if you take a YOY, it is coming down, it will still come down. You see, we have done the math. In our kind of line of business, if we bring down cost income by 10%, our return on equity increase will jump by 5%.
It will be phenomenal. That's the reason I asked this question.
No, it will come down. You watch this game. You just watch this game. It will come down. It has to come down. Because income will go up. I told you, just to summarize, so
I don't have any issues with all that. I am completely agree with you on that. Only this part was troubling me. That's why I wanted to know. So the 75, one should expect, say, it will come to 50% or 60% ballpark in 3 to 5 years.
No, definitely. I mean, we can't be at this number. It's all set up cost income, so to say. We think that definitely in the long run, we want to be certainly in the mid-50s. But certainly, we don't want to wait that long run. Even if you take, a two-year window, we do think that by within 2 years, it should materially come down. And you see, our ROE is already touched 9%. So, and this is core and genuine without one time and all that. So even if we bring this, we touch no other lever and just, increase the, just pay off the high cost legacy liabilities, that should give us about 750 crores. Then you reduce cost to income by other means we talked about. You should expect the bank to get to the mid-50s in the long run, but certainly maybe mid-60s in the next couple of years.
Okay, thanks. And I have just one more feedback for you. I'm an IDFC Bank customer. Your new app is phenomenal, but the downtime is very high, so maybe you would want to look at it.
No, thank you. We are very aware of that.
If you're aware, then that's fine.
No, but thanks.
I'm sure you'll fix it.
No, so just before you go on, so since you said that, we are frankly we are very proud that you put out a really good app. But on this issue,
it's a phenomenal app. I like it, but when you want to actually do the transaction, sometimes, in fact, many times it doesn't work.
No, that's why I stopped you, just to tell you that that must be an issue you must have faced until a week ago. For maybe it was there because it was a starting.
Even yesterday, I think I faced an issue. So.
Yeah, just on the launch. But now over the last, now it is fully stabilized. I'll be surprised if you say that if you try it today. It's unlikely. It's already addressed.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for answering my question.
Thanks, sir. Bye.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Pritesh Bum from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, evening, sir. Just a medium-term question on so how do you look at deposit rates for us as you know that we are in the upcycle? So do we feel that we'll have to be a little ahead to raise the rates versus the industry? And say if hypothetically yes, is there any room in the mix to keep the NIMs intact? So that was the first question.
No plans really right now. Whatever it is. I mean, as we speak, there is no such discussion going on within the bank.
So, but we'll be ahead of the market, or we'll be watching out, basically. How do we see that? Because the CD ratio is still lower than, higher than the loan side. So, do you feel that we may have to raise something ahead of the markets?
On the CD ratio, it's relatively higher than other banks, but you need to note that we are carrying high-cost legacy borrowings, right, in the form of long-term bonds, refinance, right? These were taken which came to the bank at merger, right? While we have reduced these borrowings, but to that extent, the funding requirement was lower, right? So if we include these long-term stable borrowings in the denominator, then the CD ratio gets adjusted to about 80s, right? So once these sort of liabilities get paid off over the next 2 to 3 years, and we sort of get deposits in way of replacement, then automatically this ratio should correct in due course.
Sure. And so second part of that question was that do we still have room in our mix to increase NIMs from a yield perspective if you also don't pass on some of the rates which are coming hypothetically again? Do we see the mix, any mix changes we can do keep the NIMs intact or the yields moving up a little bit?
So Ritesh, as you see, our NIMs are quite healthy, right? It's at 5.9% in this quarter, right? We are seeing sort of rate increase which has happened, some bit may more happen, right? But as Vaidya mentioned, we have not passed on the increase in repo rate to customers, that most of that benefit would start kicking in from Q2. So we will be fairly comfortable in terms of maintaining NIM around the 6% mark, and we feel that should happen.
Sure. Second question was, if you are disclosing, what will be our technology cost as a percentage of OPEX? Because some of the banks are disclosing this. Can we also have that number?
So we have not specifically called out that number, but we continue to invest in technology, but we have specifically not called out that number.
So, any sense on if it will be a higher number as a percentage of OPEX? I mean, is it material or is it not to worry about? Because just trying to understand, we have built the bank on the technology side for some time now. So do we see that the technology cost will slightly move down? In terms of plateau, so that's what I was getting.
Probably plateau from here, but you see, I'll tell you, yes, first of all, our technology cost will probably be a bit higher. Then I'll tell you the reason also. Again, we should not forget the fact that, let's think of any large bank who've been there for, say, 20 to 25 years. They already have a cash management system. If they launch cash management, we'll build it today. They already have a savings bank, proposition. They'll already have probably an app. We have to build an app from starting today because we can't tell our customers that similarly, if somebody has already built a solution for current account management for their customers, we have to build today. So the point is that there is certain set of capabilities that an organization need to have. It is simply stable stakes. Yeah. The one thing we should not forget is that we became a bank overnight with 1 lakh crores of assets. Right, with no banking license, it's an NBFC converting to a bank. So, because both parties were just lending institutions. So, therefore, some portion of expenses are simply just catch-up expenses as a system for building basic capabilities with others already have for 15, 20 years. Now, second part of the capabilities are to build digital capabilities for being contemporary and staying ahead and all that stuff. So, we are probably incurring both, which is why you're probably seeing this. But you should also see, so I don't deny that, but it's just for you to understand, this origin of this organization is very, very different than any other organization, which is a small NBFC, which has got a bank license, which in which case it can scale up everything along with as the businesses grow. But this origin is different. But let me also point out to you that expense or no expense, you see how quickly our story is building up from here in terms of operating profit. I read out the numbers to you. Now the way our ROA, ROE is getting fixed at a bank level, it should now set you thinking that if this bank starts normalizing its expenses like everybody else, where this game might head. I think it will look really very healthy. I mean, for us, a 2% ROA is something that, frankly, it's a bit an underball for our kind of bank.
Understood. Thanks. Last question was, if you look at the recent numbers of large banks, we have seen a solid unsecured growth in all the banks. Do you feel the marketplace or do you feel that you will get take a step back just to see how the market is shaping up, because it seems to be getting overheated on the unsecured side, or do we feel like it's not a problem yet?
No, we monitor indicators very, very closely. We look at two things. One is the perspective we get out of our experience and by watching the market. And second, data, what our data speaks to us. So, and we watch this very carefully. We want to be very, very careful on this front. Our sense is that, our general assessment is that secured, unsecured is one dimension. It is not the dimension. It's, you know, it's not God. So basically it is just one way of looking at it. For example, we find that when we lend, a personal loan to a Infosys or a Wipro or a Unilever or a good, you know, Cat A company, frankly, even through COVID, there was no default on them. Many of them didn't even take moratorium. So that's unsecured, but it behaved very well. So the point is that vis-a-vis, let me say a two-wheeler business, which is secured, but had trouble during COVID. So therefore, our job is not just to get, you know, evaluate these things bluntly by one dimension. It is to see the underlying profile of the customer that we are lending to. It's a very material point. The second material point is the in terms of our own indicators. So, and sorry, the one more thing about cash flow. How do you evaluate them? So if you evaluate them for the cash flow, it behaves a particular way. End of the day, cash is paying you back, security is not paying you back. So I'm not saying it's an immaterial point, that thing, but you should also just, I just want to put it in perspective.
Thank you. That is clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sagar Shah from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. First of all, congratulations for excellent set of numbers, actually. First question, sir, has already been, asked a couple of times regarding your operating expenses, actually. As you have already spent in technology and as you are guiding that, actually, as the income grows, actually, automatically, you said that our OPEX, on the OPEX front, automatically your income growth would be higher than your OPEX growth, and that would be a driver of the ROE, right? Am I right, sir? At least for the next year into my next year?
Sudhanshu, you want to answer? I didn't hear the question fully.
So you are saying whether the income growth would surpass the OPEX growth? Is that the question?
Yeah, as you have guided for the next year for a double-digit ROE, if I'm not wrong, in the last quarter. So yeah. For double-digit ROE, as my understanding is, the two key growth drivers are, first of all, your income growth, and secondly, your lesser OPEX growth. So I just wanted to understand on that part. My first question is on this.
So we think both will play out. There's no, it's not one for the other. Our cost should moderate from here. Secondly, income will grow. It's a very simple model. You know, if the retail book grows by maybe 25% year on year, which is what we've guided, and frankly, we feel we'll meet it comfortably. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to put pressure on ourselves. We don't have to run extra hard. Nothing we have to do. It'll just happen by itself, you know, in a very smooth manner. So when that happens, automatically income goes up 25% and straightforward to operating leverage. So, I mean, we are not stressed about this double-digit ROE. Let me just tell you, we'll surprise you a little, maybe ahead of time. But certainly fourth quarter ROE is, you can take it as a assured thing, a bit assured meaning, whatever you make of it, but we're feeling good about it.
Okay, sure, sir. And my second question was on your cost of funds, actually. I wanted a color on your by 20th July, you have changed the interest, you have reduced the interest rates on the SA and the SA accounts and the term deposit accounts. So your incremental cost of funds on blended on borrowings and deposits, roughly you can say how much will it be, sir, going forward?
The exact number Sudhanshu can answer, but let's talk in terms of delta. In the delta sense, frankly, our business model is baked for these kind of cost of funds. we don't have to be like the big fours at their kind of rate of 3% of up to 50 lakhs and greater than 350 lakhs, 3.5%. We don't have to be that league. We fundamentally our yield is slightly better. Our origin is different, you know, and therefore for us, we're comfortable with what we're paying right now. And even at that, if we're getting a net interest margin of 6%, we're more than happy. We're not under stress to increase it also. We're happy with 6%. So now it's a very simple game of just scaling up the book, nothing more. Just pay more than the others in terms of savings, which we will do. And frankly, we don't worry about it. If interest rates went up in the market by another 50 basis points, I mean, we won't bat an eyelid. We'll smoothly increase interest rate by 50 basis points. We won't think twice. For us, the model is very happy and comfortable. Not that I have any plans, as I said earlier, but we don't stress about these things. Because we're sitting on a margin level that is so strong, we still are yet to take out, we still have not, like I told you, leveraged the assets, the cross-sell, lot of income waiting to be there, lot of new businesses to be built, that has to scale up, wealth management will scale up, cash management will scale up, FASTag will scale up, they will all give income. So when you have enough income sitting out there yet to be taken, a few basis points just at that side makes no difference to us.
Okay, got your point. My sir, next question was regarding your commercial finance portfolio. I think on the net, I think it has degrown by around 8% to quarter on quarter. So can you throw some color on the commercial finance portfolio? How you intend to grow in that space? Basically, how do you look at that portfolio?
We like the business. We like the business and priority sector. And Sudhanshu, as you spoke to me, just points out to me, it's already grown from 2,000 crore to 2,300 crore in the last quarter. So that's commercial.
So commercial finance book that has increased from 10,144 crores to 10,679 crores.
Okay, you didn't mean commercial vehicle. You meant commercial finance. Is that what you said?
Yes.
It's a marginal increase on a sequential basis. Of course, on a YOY, the growth is 13%. We feel that growth could be a bit faster in this segment in future quarters.
So just to correct myself, my apology. I thought you said commercial vehicle. That's why I read out some of that.
No problem, sir. And coming back to my previous question, sir, you had thrown the color on your liabilities, but can you throw us a number? And what is your blended cost now on borrowings and deposits, sir, going forward?
Yeah, blended cost is about 5.2%.
5.2%, and you envisage that it will remain the same for the entire year and for going further.
See, I told you not to bother about that too much. I'm not. First of all, I'm not ducking that question. As of now, we feel that the rates are what they are. We are comfortable. Like I said earlier, you know, if yields in the market rise for any reason, we have no problem touching it by 20-25 basis points here or there. No problem at all. I told you the kind of margin sitting on, you know, the kind of buttons we've not even pressed in the bank in terms of the fee income, the operating leverage that is yet to play out. Let me just say, for example, if the loan book for the bank retail side grew from 1 lakh crore to 130. 130 goes to 160. We are not going to grow the OPEX to 30-30%. So the operating leverage sitting there. So there are so many pools of buffer we're sitting on. That this is a round-off item. It won't be the material thing. For us, we were very clear. We want the deposits, what we want to have. We don't want to outprice, in the sense we will just need it as much as we need. I mean, we'll touch the pricing such a way that we just take what we want to take. But at this point of time, we have, as we speak, there's no plan to touch it.
Just to add, even on the asset side, we may sort of increase the pricing, right? As markets have also increased pricing on certain products, we have also done so in Q1. So, to some extent, asset repricing will also happen, which will take care of the cost of fund increase.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And my sir, follow-up question was, have you utilized the 168 crore provisions that you had in your balance sheet, sir, for COVID-19?
Yeah, we have utilized about 75 crores of COVID provision, and this was largely utilized for a corporate case which I mentioned had slipped into NPA during the current quarter out of the restructuring pool, and so we have utilized to that extent.
Okay,
We still carry a service provision of about 90 crores as on 30th June 2020.
And that 165, largely, you know, we told you there was one retail chain. In my opening remark, I mentioned to you, the retail chain, we had an exposure. So we drew down on the COVID provision and settled the retail chain. We made it zero outstanding. And frankly, we don't see a need to use that COVID provision at all. So sometime or the other, we have to release it. As of now, it's just there. I mean, we're not expecting next quarter's credit provision to be very much. We don't expect Q3, Q4, any of them to be. We're not. We feel they'll be quite safe and low. So at some stage, we'll take it out and release it to the P&L.
Okay, sure, sir. Then what was the exposure towards our that retail exposure, that corporate account?
Zero now.
But what the exposure we had before?
575 or 500 crores. Maybe 550, 560. But it was a legacy account. It's not that we could do much about it. So the last three quarters or so, a couple of quarters, we've taken it out and made zero.
Okay, sure, sir. And my last question, sir, was regarding to your infrastructure portfolio. That infrastructure portfolio, I think it is still at around 6,700 crores or so. So now, are you confident of the existing portfolio, or there are certain watchlist accounts also in this entire portfolio?
No, so if you see our numbers out of the book which we have, about 21% is currently a GNPA book, right, where we have a net NPA of 11%. This also includes one large toll road, which had slipped into NPA in Q1 last quarter. While we are getting revenues here in terms of the improved tolls, right, and we expect a resolution which could happen in the balance years. But in terms of incremental stress, we don't see sort of any further stress built up on the infrastructure portfolio.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for the details. Thank you so much. All the best for future.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Ashutosh Mishra. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, just to understand from the benchmark linked loan, how much of our loan are linked to the EBLR, MCLR, and how much fixed rate loan, and how the transmission is going to take place?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So we have a loans and advances book of about 1,30,000 crores. Currently, about 37% of the book is linked to external benchmark in the form of EBLR, T-bills, and MCLR, and the rest is a fixed book. As we mentioned earlier, while we have passed on the repo increase to the new loans which were sourced after the rate increases by RBI, on the existing book, largely the pricing benefit will come in from this quarter. And the loans which sort of came for reset through the MCLR route, right, because we also increased MCLR during this period, that increase was passed on to the customers. But as far as repo is concerned, largely the benefit will kick in starting Q2.
So how much is repo and how much is MCLR amount in this 37%?
Yeah, so out of the 37%, about 60% is repo and balance is MCLR, where the repricing would happen over 3 months to 1 year. Depends on the MCLR which has been agreed with the client.
Okay. So second question is that fixed rate book composition is relatively higher in our overall loan book. So what is the tenor for this, and how the repricing will move on this front? Because we are in a rising rate environment, and to understand the NIM trajectory, it will be very important to know that part.
Yeah, again, if you see, ours is a very diversified retail book, right? Like, we do rural finance loans, right? This is essentially a fixed rate book, right? But there the pricing is quite healthy, the segment is quite profitable, right? And there are certain shorter, these are again not very long tenured loans, right? Similarly, we do consumer durables, which also runs off quite fast, right? This is also a fixed rate book. While we are not able to pass on the rate increase to already originated fixed rate loans, but we have, as I said earlier, we have made some increases in the incremental book which is getting sourced. But we feel we would be able to sort of hold on to the NIMs. The NIMs are quite healthy, right, as we mentioned earlier, and we expect it to be around 6% even going forward.
Any number on the tenor of this loan book, average tenor of the fixed rate loan book?
Yeah, as I said, it depends from product to product. Like a CD, average tenor would be about 8 months or so. For a PL, it would be about 2 years and so on. So it varies from loan to loan, right? So it would be difficult to spell out a blended tenor in terms of the fixed rate book.
Okay, got that. Okay. My second question is that, you know, we are spending aggressively on advertisement across the channel. So what is our customer acquisition, especially on the retail liability front, if you can put some light on that?
You see, last year we did not grow the liabilities base very much, and you know the reason, we were sitting on too much of LCR, and so we had to slow down deposit growth. So from this year onwards, since we are expecting the loan book to grow by 20-odd%, you know that we need deposits. So therefore, you might have seen some more activity out there in the marketplace in terms of advertisements, etc.
So in that direction, only want to whether we have seen new customer or new account acquisition to go up substantially post our substantial increase in our advertising.
It's not necessarily about how many customers we get, whether 1 lakh or 80,000 or 1 lakh or 1.2 lakhs. That's not a material point. The thing to note is actually the quality of customers we get. So we are very particular about the customer quality we get. We don't have zero balance products, and so therefore customers coming in at a minimum bring, say, a requirement is 25K or 10K, but customers usually bring in maybe even 80,000, 1 lakh, 1.5 lakh in that zone. So therefore for us, quality of customers is very, very, very important, and we focus on that because then we can make good use of the infrastructure we're setting up.
Okay.
And then also get a more meaningful relationship.
Want to know on the high cost legacy bond book which we are carrying it, what is your guidance on that? How much benefit in this paying interest rate scenario we will get from the repricing of that? If you can guide us on that part.
Yeah, so as we have mentioned in the presentation, that these loans sort of fall off within next 3 to 4 years, right? On a blended basis, the average residual tenor is about 2 years. And these loans are currently having a blended cost of about 8.75%, right? Of course, as I said, our cost of funds is about 5.2%, right? And so we feel that money is money, right? So we will be able to sort of replace these bonds, right, as they fall for maturity, right, at a cost which would be in the range of 5 to 5.5%, right? And so you can compute, right, that much of sort of relief will then flow through the P&L as and when it comes.
So you can do the math. Supposing, yeah, let's say 22,000 crores, and then you say 8.8 minus, don't even take 5.2, even if you take it at 6%, because like one of the earlier speakers said that we got to factor for a little bit more increase. And let's factor for it. Let's call it maybe even 5.5 or even 5.7, just liberally speaking. And that difference, multiply, so that 3.2 or so, and multiply that by 220 crores, that's about 630-640 crores. Post-taxes, let's call it about 450-500 crores. So if you add, you get the drift. So that is the amount of order of magnitude of money in the P&L. And then we didn't discuss ROE in a detailed way. Surprisingly, nobody asked it. Maybe you assume it's improving. But if you add that kind of, earlier, if you recollect, we used to call out three items.
Yes.
Okay, we used to call out credit card business launch, and we told you that it's losing money per quarter and all that. Second number we used to say was liability branches. And third, this time we're not even doing that. We at 1% ROA, we don't need to twist and turn and make any, we don't have to do that. So you forget these two items. Let's focus on only one item, which is this replacing high-cost legacy liabilities. Because the first two, you might argue that your business, what as an investor, what are you going to do with that? But on this item of cost of funds, this is easy one, easy for you to understand. So you would simply take our ROE of today, just add back this maybe 500 odd crores because of this reason, and then you see the ROE. This will surely go away. I hope there's no dispute on this one.
Okay.
So that's how we are looking at, you know, a lot of people are, if you see one large brokerage report, which is always bearish on us, they're just not able to believe that we can fix the ROE thing. They just go back to mathematical grid and call us, you know, they believe it should be priced. I don't know what they name us. But I think they'll all, I think when people get a little under the hood and see not the ROA and the ROE, but see the trajectory of where this is headed, and if somebody saw the underlying components that is driving this ROE, and if somebody saw the quality of the book that is being built, if somebody saw the quality of customer franchise we're building, and one thing we didn't talk about our obsession for customer first, you know, it's showing, reflecting in our products. You know, I'll talk about that later. So if someone saw all the quality and character that is being built in the organization, then they will see what we're building, and unfortunately it will show up only a few years from now, but it will show.
Thank you. That was the last question due to time constraint. I would now hand it over back to the management for closing comments.
Well, frankly, first of all, thanks. You asked very detailed and very incisive conversation. So we thank you for that on behalf of Sudhanshu and myself and anybody else from our bank hearing the conversation. Thanks for that. I must say that all of us in the bank, our senior management team, many more who are not on this call, you know, are all like working hard to build the bank, and along the way build the necessary profitability of the bank. My second thing is that we are building, you know, just of course our ROE will talk, but in a real sense we are building a really high quality bank in terms of customer franchise. So there are many, many things we don't bill customers for because we believe that either they didn't see it, or we take, if people complain about something or the other, we take it rather seriously, we go back and fix the root. So there are, in terms of features, they're genuinely customer friendly. You know, as a shareholder, you may or you may not be impressed about the bank yet. But I must say that anybody and everybody should be our customer, because we genuinely give high quality products. We don't, there are lots of fees and charges, etc., left hand and right hand. We don't charge any of them. So we are a good customer bank. Now, third thing is that, if you look, say, 1 year or 1 year ahead, let me say, 1 year ahead, my feel is that you won't be disappointed.
Yeah, thanks to the entire senior management team of IDFC First Bank for patiently answering all the calls, and thanks all the participants for being there. Have a nice weekend. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Kunal. Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.